Good morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Sandra Barrett, and on behalf of University College of Syracuse University, it's my pleasure to welcome you here this morning to the Thursday Morning Roundtable. This is our last program in November, of course, because next week is Thanksgiving, so we take a week's break, and then we come back in December for 2 weeks before the semester break. And we'll be talking the first week in December about consensus CNY, and I've been telling you about that and encouraging you to look at the website and some of the data that's been collected and put up there, but we'll have a presentation that will dive into it a little bit more, even though it is still in draft preliminary form. And then the following week, we will speak again with our annual visit, as it's been, from Superintendent Sharon Contreras from the City School District. So we're looking forward to that. And then we will take a semester break. But right now, again, welcome. For those of you who are guests, when the county executive is done with her remarks, I will have the microphone. I will try to spot your questions. Raise your hand and I'll make my way through the room and we'll get as many of you as possible. Right now, though, to introduce the county executive, TMR member Travis Glazier, who is deputy commissioner for facilities management at the county.
Thank you. Thank you very much. As Sandra mentioned, I am a recent OCL board member, and I've worked with the county executive since 2005 when I came here to work on our campaign for mayor. So I'm very familiar with our county executive and our guest, and I think many of you are too. So instead of doing a traditional introduction, I thought I would take advantage of the fact that next TMR session is consensus and highlight some of the government modernization measures that have happened since 2007. As many of you are aware, there's been two police mergers in Onondaga County, the town of Clay and East Syracuse, which will take effect in January 1st of 2015. There was a village dissolution vote, which was the first village dissolution vote since Eastwood became the village and the city in the 1920s. There have been three fire districts or fire taxing entities which have either merged or dissolved to streamline that process since 2007, decreasing the overall number of fire taxing entities. There have been many, many state and locally sponsored consolidation, shared service studies that have taken place, and countless other conversations on the side that have happened. In addition, the city and county have merged their purchasing departments. They've merged their planning departments. The city and county have collaboratively worked on infrastructure improvements in the city, on sewer, as well as highway. I think most importantly, the city and county worked together to restructure the sales tax sharing agreement, which ensured the city now receives a greater amount of the sales tax money that comes into Onondaga County to support services within the city of Syracuse, which all residents of Onondaga County benefit from. Now, all these measures weren't necessarily initiatives that came from the county. However, I would submit to you that they were, in fact, a culmination of leadership, of opportunity, and of environment. And that environment, which encouraged municipalities to take a look at who delivers what service and ask the tough questions. So one of the primary leaders in that whole process is our guest today, County Executive Joni Mahoney.
Good morning. It's very nice to see all of you here this morning. I'm a little hectic this morning because my husband's out of town, and I have to get my kids to school, and you all come here early. And I don't want to leave you with the impression that this is not a job for a woman with children. It's just occasionally things come together, and I'm busy. But I am very happy to be here, and I don't even think you noticed, right, that I just got here. I have had the pleasure of coming here to Thursday Morning Roundtable many times, and I enjoy the conversation very much. And I usually come right after the budget, and I spend all of my presentation talking about the budget. But I thought I would do something a little bit different this year because the budget is a little further behind us than it usually is when I come, and there isn't a lot of news. I can touch on the budget, and I plan to touch on the budget, and I would welcome your questions on the budget. But I thought I'd touch on some of the other things that have been in the news, try to spark some conversation, and spend my time hearing what it is you want to hear and answer any questions that you have for me about what's going on in county government. So I will start with the fact that we just adopted our budget at $1.24 billion. That set the levy for 2015 at $139.8 million. $139.8 is going to be the total amount of property tax collected in Onondaga County, for Onondaga County in 2015. And that compares to 2010, when it was $184 million. We've reduced property taxes at the county level since 2010 by 24%. And I know that this is a crowd in particular that is spending time diving into the details, and that you would understand that a lot of that, not all of it, but a lot of that comes because of what Travis just said about the sales tax sharing formula. And our government now being funded, the balance changing a little bit, and we're being funded more with things that require growth. And that's why we're trying to make things happen. We're trying to help revitalize downtown. We're trying to work with the city wherever we can to, you know, save the money that we can save and have the resources to make things happen in the community. And I think it's been a change for people. Change can be bumpy, but I think it's been overall very good for us. The mandated costs are about 42.5% of our overall budget. They take most of our property tax levy. And the mandates are moving in the right direction. There was a hard cap put on Medicaid, and that means that our local share for Medicaid, which you all know is a federal program, the federal government shares the cost of Medicaid with the state. And in New York, they share half of that back with the counties. And it's a large part of the reason why the property taxes in New York are higher than they are anywhere else. But the hard cap makes it so that our actual dollar amount isn't going up anymore. It's been relief. It's not everything that we need, and I think that things are going to continue to move in the right direction. There's been some reform of Medicaid at the state level where costs are coming under control. But for us here locally, the fact that they stopped growing the way they were growing has been a tremendous help to us. There are 3,306 employees in Onondaga County, and that compares in 2008 when I took the job. We had 4,224 positions. We have reduced county government positions by 918, which is a 22% reduction. 559 of those came from Van Dyne, but it still leaves several hundred other positions that we've been able to live without. And it means that county employees have been working harder than ever, and they are doing outstanding work. And that's the focus I want people to have on this administration, is what's our work product? You know, we kind of get lost in the weeds about some of the noise, but what's the work product? And I would be very proud to stand the work product of our department heads and our departments, a lot of whom are here, and the work that the county legislature has done in partnership with me to keep our county producing the way it is and being literally the best financially. The credit rating that Onondaga County has is higher than any other in New York State, and our fiscal stress monitoring that we go through with the comptroller is higher. Our health is higher than any of the other big counties by far. So I am very proud of the work that we're doing. You have heard, though, that the sewer unit charge goes up. So when you hear that your property taxes are going down, the next sentence is always that your sewer unit charge is going up. And that is true. And that is a carefully planned multi-year increase in the sewer unit charge for two major reasons. One, the federal government used to help us clean Onondaga Lake. When Jim Walsh was in Congress, he brought millions of dollars back to help clean Onondaga Lake, and that money is gone. And number two, the state money is gone. There was an annual $10 million line item in the state budget when I took office to help us with the lake cleanup projects. That money's gone. In addition to that, I believe that we have a responsibility to maintain our infrastructure. We are not waiting for crisis to, patch, and the city is under tremendous stress right now because of the bursting pipes everywhere, and we're another winter coming where everything will freeze, and then all spring long we'll just have to find out where the leaks are. We are not doing that in county government. We are taking care of our infrastructure, and we're doing it because you are very patiently accepting very gradual planned increases in the sewer unit charge so that we're able to leave that infrastructure for the next generation at least as good as we found it, if not better. So that's kind of my high-level talk about the budget, and I am open to your questions, and I'm going to leave time for questions. The amphitheater has made a lot of noise. Is that a pun? I hope it makes a lot of noise. But the amphitheater, I'm open to any of your questions about the amphitheater. The amphitheater is the icing on the cake for this decades-long, three administrations of county executives trying to clean Onondaga Lake. The fact that we're at a point in our community-wide conversation where we're talking about the entertainment on the shores of Onondaga Lake is a tremendous success. But it's also the icing on the cake for the overall project. Solvay and Geddes have suffered from decline for many years because of all the industry that left. Not only did that industry pollute Solvay, pollute Geddes, pollute Onondaga Lake, but then the jobs left, and there's nobody left to help pay for that cleanup. So this is a multifaceted project where we're helping with our community development office to do revitalization of the housing stock, the businesses. We're doing streetscape work. There will be a very attractive walk from the Village of Solvay to the New York State Fair. We're working in close partnership with the New York State Fair to make sure that what we're doing complements what they're planning to do. And you will be able to walk if you live in Solvay or park in Solvay and walk over the bridge. The utilities will be buried. Some of the streets that you've seen that we've done with the connective corridor, it's going to look like that when you walk down Bridge Street to get to the New York State Fair. And I know our engineering partners are here. We are also using that as infrastructure that helps our overall goal of controlling stormwater and runoff. But the amphitheater itself, you may have heard, I'm not sure, but you may have heard that there was a vote of the Onondaga County Legislature to bond for the amphitheater, and I appreciated very much that they agreed to bond for the amphitheater. We made a commitment if the state would come in with $30 million in grant money as part of this project that we would come in with resources. And we can't just take the state money and not step up locally. Why not do this somewhere else where the localities are partnering? And I would love to answer the questions that I'm sure that you have about the Buffalo Billion and what that means for Syracuse, and does a $30 million grant compare to the Buffalo Billion? And certainly it does not. But we have had a tremendous, tremendous partnership with New York State. The elections are over, and we're back to the governing part of our jobs. And I'm telling you that this state administration is very accessible. We have had issues come up where we literally will call state DOT from the meeting to get an answer to a question so we can move forward on a county road project. It's really been a great partnership, and I'm looking forward to that partnership continuing now for several more years. The first concert is being planned for August 2015. It is an aggressive schedule. But we did an RFP process, and we have selected a vendor that we are currently negotiating a contract with. And that vendor, if we're successful, has had experience meeting these kinds of timelines, and I feel very confident that we're going to be able to do that. They came in and, as part of their presentation, talked about another venue that they had built, and in just reading the newspaper 6 months before the venue was supposed to be built, they saw a full-page ad for tickets being sold at the venue about 3 months before they were planning on finishing. So they have had the stress of an aggressive calendar, and I'm excited to work with them. But in terms of the controversy surrounding the amphitheater, I think there's two main controversies. One was environmental, and one was whether we should be borrowing the money. So from an environmental standpoint, the waste beds there, the Solvay waste beds, exist. I didn't put them there, but they exist. And as much respect for the Onondaga Indian Nation, and they have been so helpful to me, and their perspective is that that land should be removed. My perspective as county executive in a broader view is, where do you want me to put it? Can you imagine this community-wide discussion about where we're going to put the landfill after we move it, which, by the way, is a 20-year, $30 billion or vice versa job? And then it will still exist. It will just be somewhere else. And then we will have to remediate it, cap it, and work with it. So I understand, and the Onondaga Nation, with the lake being sacred ground to the Onondagas, and I understand their perspective. But when you talk about an environmental perspective, it's not this environment or that environment, it's the environment. And this landfill exists. So what do? You test it, you understand what's there, you understand what it takes to keep people safe to be there, and then you make lemonade. And this piece of property is the most tested piece of property in Onondaga County. We know, I think, everything that you're going to find out about this. And part of the benefit of it being entirely man-made is you have a pretty good idea of what's there. We've done, if you looked at the maps of borings of the testing that's been done long before I got here, I think you would have some level of reassurance. And I was able, I think some of you maybe heard me say, I was able to have a conversation with the regional administrator at EPA, and I said, I'm a mother. My kids are going to go to this amphitheater, and they're going to sit on the lawn, because I'm not going to give them the money for a seat. They're going to sit on the lawn, and they're going to watch a show, and I want them to be safe. I'm not looking to cut corners. I'm not looking to get around the rules. I want to do this if it's safe, if it's the right thing to do. I've been assured that it is. We are remediating, I think, even further than we need to. But there will be clean soil. It will be capped. What's underneath it is not toxic. It's in the category of baking soda. It's the residual from Allied Chemical. So, you know, I have every single human health risk assessment that's been done on our website. I have all the information out there, and you can read it, and you can ask me questions about it. But I'm giving you my best analysis. And I think your job, and it's true of all these topics that I'm touching on, your job is to make sure that you are electing people that you can trust to do their homework, understand the issues from every angle, and vote their conscience. You do that at the county legislature level, and you do that at the county executive level. And you all, I presume, are busy in your days and in your lives and the things that you do. My job is to understand these kinds of things and then come and report back to you. And I hope that you're happy with the performance that I'm doing working for you on these kinds of projects. So I will move on to another controversy, OCRA. The Onondaga County Resource Recovery Agency just voted as a board to renew its contract with Covanta. And there is some, I will start with, I absolutely positively agree with the environmentalists that we should not burn trash. Instead, we should recycle and reuse every single thing we have. I agree. And if everybody's in and we don't have any more trash, we can do that. Until then, we have to take care of the trash that we have. And you have to balance. What's the best way to take care of the trash? Taking care of the trash is not a positive, but it's a need to do. And I have a few options as county executive. OCRA is a separate agency, but I, as your employee, dive in and understand the details and try to steer the conversation as best I can. But I will tell you that OCRA, to some extent, is a victim of its own success. We are a very good recycling community. We recycle more than a lot of people do in Onondaga County. That results in less tonnage, which is a good thing, except that the efficiencies then are gone when you're using that tonnage to create energy for people to power their homes. So for this deal with Covanta to go forward, Covanta needs more revenue. And they get that revenue from more tonnage that they can turn into energy that they can sell. So how do you get more tonnage? As the county, you can walk away and say, we don't want to do business with Covanta. The deal that was struck when the plant was built is that it would revert to Covanta. And then Covanta can decide how they want to use the plant. Right now, the county legislature has oversight over how the plant gets used and what kinds of things can be burned in the plant. There was a commitment made, I believe, that we would not, as a county, import trash. And that is a decision that the county legislature, I think, is struggling with right now. But it's not, are you going to or aren't you going to? From my perspective, it's, do you want to keep control over what that is? Do you want tires? Do you want heavy metals? Do you want medical waste? No. Do you want trash that's just like our trash? Cortland is not a lot different than Onondaga County. If you cross over the line in Tully into Cortland County and you go into the fast food restaurants and look in the trash, it's exactly the same trash. They don't have different trash there. And there's fewer people that live in Cortland than in the town of Clay. And I have said, only half jokingly, we should be talking about annexing Cortland. Just make it our trash. And then there's the efficiencies. And I'm kidding for Michelle Breidenbach, who's back there typing. Not really moving forward on my annexation of Cortland. But anyhow, so I will answer your questions about okra. And I see my glasses, but there's no room up here. And the final topic that I want to throw out, but I'm open to questions, is I want to tell you how happy I am that Dr. Gupta has taken on the role as Onondaga County's health commissioner. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to meet her, but she is wonderful. And when I saw her resume, I just couldn't believe that we have the opportunity to have someone with this wealth of experience from every perspective coming here in the next progression in her career ladder to take on the role of public health commissioner. She has experience here at St. Joe's Hospital. She has experience in Onondaga County government in the health department. She's coming to us from California, but her family has been here and she's happy to be back here. She was most recently at the UCLA School of Medicine, and when you get a chance to meet her, I think you'll be very happy. There was so much controversy over the new, not probably over the new, but over the exit of the old, and I'm happy to answer your questions about that. Pardon me? Oh, okay. But the one thing I wanted to share with you this morning, too, is, because I never say only one thing, I went and met with the nurses after the controversy about the previous health commissioner's resignation. I went and I sat down with the nurses and I asked for their input about going out into the community and about the conversation. This concern surrounds a program where we have public health nurses that are available to women with at-risk pregnancies to use voluntarily. And our nurses go into their homes and check on the babies and check on the moms and make sure they have what they need, and they stay with those families for the first 2 years. And we've had better outcomes in terms of infant mortality in Onondaga County as a result. But I will tell you that we have a lot more work to do. If you look closely at the statistics of infant mortality in Onondaga County, we're doing a much better job with white babies than we are non-white babies. And it's very troubling. If you look at infant mortality as a whole, we are making progress, and I'm very happy that we're making progress. But none of you would sleep well if you really drilled down into the statistics and saw what the differences are between the white babies and the non-white babies. So you will, I think, agree with me. And again, you're busy and you don't have all of the information that I do. It came to my attention that we redlined in Onondaga County. We didn't go into every residence in Onondaga, every home in Onondaga County, because of, I think, well-intentioned reasons. there was concern about the safety of the nurses, but decisions had been made to create a list of properties that people didn't need to go to. And I don't think you would be surprised if you look at the infant mortality rates and you look at the list of properties that we didn't go to, that maybe we weren't doing the best we could with that program. I went out with one of the nurses and visited with one of the families, a wonderful refugee family on the north side of Syracuse, and I sat and I listened to try to understand myself. And there were three professionals there with the family, and there were one of the professionals was an interpreter. And the conversation started out immediately with a welcome and an explanation to the woman that this is a voluntary program and that that person that was visiting with them was in fact a mandatory reporter. And if there was any problem that they saw, they were under an obligation to, you know, let someone know that. I don't know if they have to tell people that. I'm looking into whether they have to tell people that. But that was the entire controversy. Was if women think that we're part of a social services system, they're not going to want us. And I only have anecdotal information about that right now because I sat with this family, but I will tell you that they are mandatory reporters, whether they tell the women or not. And I thought, and I don't know that it was interpreted accurately, but I thought it was, in that moment, insulting to the woman, the mother, to suggest that she's not going to want you here because she might be doing something wrong. This is a voluntary public health program. We are a community that has a lot of refugees. We don't do everything as, you know, perfect as we can possibly do things. We have a fantastic program in place that we make available to people, and our arrows are moving in the right direction. But to suggest that everybody, this is one of the things that has galled me my entire adult life, is the suggestion that people that need help are criminals. You can't assume that because someone comes to Onondaga County government for help, that they're doing something wrong that they don't want you to know about. And that was really the rub for me about this conversation that happened. But I have talked to Dr. Gupta through Ann Rooney, and we have stepped back. We have a new health commissioner, knows a lot more about this than I do, and we are going to give her a thorough opportunity to understand what it was we learned when we combined our other social services departments. We touch children in many different areas of county government, and we don't talk to each other. So we did a whole human services reorganization, and what we wanted to do was fold that program into this program. But I assure you, we've taken a step back. We're going to let Dr. Gupta fully immerse herself in the issue, and then I will take her advice on it. But we're not going to redline. That we have workers in county government that go everywhere, and we can't exempt the one program that can be helpful. I understand that there might be a specific incident here or there that we need to address, but to take entire apartment complexes out, and I think in defense of the former health commissioner, she would tell you that they did not eliminate visits to anybody. However, the folks that lived in those homes had to bring their babies somewhere else. They had to bring them to the Dunkin' Donuts or to the library or somewhere public. And my argument is, well, then how do you know how that baby's sleeping? How do you know what's in the crib and whether there's too many blankets? And, you know, that's a service that we're providing everybody except for the folks who live in the certain residents that were on the list. So I want you to know what I know. And I hear the controversy. If everything was black and white, you would not need me. You wouldn't need anybody. There are so many things that have to be balanced. The landfill for the amphitheater, OCRA, how to employ county services in a way that's most efficient and delivers the best services. You've hired me to do that. I am doing it, and I have to run again next year, and I'm planning to come back and ask you to let me continue to do it because I'm still doing the job for the same reason I started. I still have my family here. I want them to have a community that they can thrive in, not just survive, but thrive in. I want this to be a community that they can thrive in. So with that, I will open it up to any questions that you have, and then I'm assuming that, Sandra, you will keep me on schedule.
That I will.
Okay, thank you.
And we will have you back next year, whether to talk to us before the election by yourself, as with the last election, or with someone else. That'll be great. Okay, we're
or what do you mean after that will election. Be great if I
no, have that'll be great too. Well, do you remember last time we had this conversation about running unopposed? Which
yes,
says,
I agree. Yeah.
Yes.
No, I'm just putting you on the spot. I'm just kidding. I think no one should run unopposed except me.
Okay. We get that.
Okay.
All right, we have a question here. I think everyone's trying to compose their thoughts. Stand up.
Sure. Joni, great talk. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My question is, we have a great number of our people that spend time in the correction institutions, and there has to be a better way of treating people that make a mistake than we have. What are your ideas? I realize you're not the judge that decides what to do.
Right.
But how can we give those people a chance in a different way?
Oh, I really appreciate that question, because that is another one of the controversies in the community right now, is whether to build another jail tower. And the fact that we are bursting at the seams in our county jails, both the Justice Center downtown and Jamesville, it's mind-boggling. Like, we should not be in a community that's bursting at the seams, our jails bursting at the seams. So there is talk about, I know that there are members of the county legislature that want us to build more jail cells. I think the need for more jail cells in part comes from the closure of mental health facilities. And there are people here, Sarah Merrick is here, there are people here who can talk even better than I can about this. But I don't believe that the solution to the mentally ill is to warehouse them in a jail. And I don't want, yeah, thank you. And that for me is the easy way out. Just build another tower, and there's plenty of room. I'll probably be done being county executive before you're bursting at the seams again. But from a human standpoint, the folks that are there need something other than to be housed in a jail. So I think there's a few things you can do. There's that mental health population, and you can... and we do work on almost an individual basis. I met with Ann Rooney yesterday, and we talked about an individual who's on probation, who needs more help, and we want to call the judge. But from a policy standpoint, and again, that relationship with state government is good. We have to affect the policies, and we need to understand what the best way to deal with people who have mental health issues is. But then we also have the warehousing of young people for minor offenses, and then we give them a criminal record. And then with that criminal record, they have a difficult time finding a job, and then they come to county government because they need human resources. I mean, they need social services. They need help paying their rent. They need help paying for their heat. They need health insurance. They need food stamps. And that's because they're of a petty offense that resulted in them, especially in a bad economy when there's so much competition for jobs. So I personally have made a point of hiring folks that have minor criminal offenses in entry-level positions in Onondaga County government. I have a broad group of people that helps me vet folks, and they start out in some of the least appealing jobs, but come to work every day, do a good job, you're on the path, and at the very least, you'll leave county government with a resume that includes something other than I spent time at the public safety building. So I'm doing it here, but I don't have the ability to solve all of that problem. And I think, as you said, the judges do and the district attorney does. There's been a whole change in the mindset of petty offenses with drugs. I mean, that's another whole conversation. So we're not going to build a jail right now. And I know it doesn't make everybody happy. And we might build a jail someday, but we're not going to do it with the information we have right now. Thanks.
Chair, so you can use your hands
Oh, thank you. So, I don't. I'm Irish. I don't know why I. But I do. So, Walt Dixie has a question. Although you don't have a microphone, I don't know where.
Over here.
Okay.
Thank you. Part of the perception that the public has as to what the best alternative for the I-81 viaduct replacement mm-hmm. has to do with the perception of the adequacy of public transportation. And since you're known as a woman of a leader of vision, I'm wondering what you would see our goals might be in 5 or 10 years for the enhancement of public transportation, looking at the possibility of light rail, bus rapid transit, other things like that that would be concurrent with the rebuild alternative, whatever it is, of the I-81 viaduct.
I'm in favor of public mass transportation, and I would be happy to sit in any group that tries to move us in that direction. The biggest impediment is for mass transportation, you need a mass. We have sprawled in Onondaga County beyond where it's a simple solution to build a light rail. I mean, that's another one of our focuses with sprawl, is we just can't be everywhere, you know? I mean, we can't take the infrastructure everywhere. We can't build houses everywhere. We can't manage the runoff when you make the surfaces hard because you've paved over yet another farmland. But we can't. That's another of the byproducts of sprawl, is mass transportation becomes a much more difficult conversation. The other thing, and I'll just say it, just food for thought, a lot of what we've read and heard about the 81 discussion and the focus groups, I know there was a article that I read that talked about voters' opinions. And it doesn't seem fair to me. I think if you were to pull the voter rolls, I think everyone should vote. Don't get me wrong. I have controversial opinions on everyone voting, so I won't go there. But they don't. They don't all vote. And if you look at the voter rolls for the people that live adjacent to 81, I think you might be surprised that you haven't asked anyone there what they think should happen with 81. When you do voter surveys, you're not asking everybody. And I would keep that in mind before we make decisions about it. Yes.
I would like to what you have to say about bright shiny objects as an economic development tool.
Okay.
I'm not going to call it what that music center, amphitheater, whatever you want to call it, that. But you talked about, I have no problem with Solvay being renovated. I think it might help with a sprawl issue, but I don't see what Main Street Solvay has to do with crossing I-690. I mean, there's a disconnect in my mind, and I don't know how you get those two connected.
Okay. Well, when I talked about Bridge Street, I'm talking about connecting Solvay to the State Fair.
Right.
That's on this side of 690. There are pedestrian bridges and to go to the amphitheater. So my thoughts on bright, shiny objects as economic development tools. I started out by telling you how much of a reduction we've had in our property tax levy, which is good news for us. As a result, we need sales tax, and you decide where to spend the money based on what it will generate in terms of sales tax. And we have had professionals, not me, look at this proposal and tell us that not only will this break even, which I would argue shouldn't have even been a hurdle we needed to get over, because we don't ask. When I built the bike trail on the west shore of the lake, no one said, well, where's the revenue being generated? How's that breaking even? It's a quality of life. It's a park. And we don't ask those questions about our other parks. But here we met that standard of breaking even. And then beyond that, what it will do for people here travel to SPAC. People here travel to other places to go to concerts. They shouldn't leave here, and people will come here. We have a lot to offer here. This site is going to be unique. It's going to be something where eventually you're going to be able to get in a water taxi and head down to the Inner Harbor, head over to Liverpool. If you come to a concert at this facility, you very legitimately would make it a weekend-long trip. And when you buy your hotel room, Onondaga County gets a room occupancy tax. And when you spend your money in the stores and you go to restaurants, Onondaga County gets sales tax. So do you take the $2.5 million new source of revenue that I'll be surprised if I get any more new sources of revenue ever when I'm county executive, but this casino money is coming in. Do you use that money to reduce the levy and everybody saves $10, or do you use that money to support infrastructure? Onondaga County is doing a very good job of supporting its infrastructure. We are in a very good position to be able to think more broadly about what we would do with it. I don't have the ability to just pave the city roads. I did. I don't know if you saw it. And it was a big effort, get permission from everybody I needed to pave Harrison Street. If you're downtown and you go on Harrison Street, it's a city road that Onondaga County paved. It's the first, the world didn't end, and I would like to do more of that. But I will tell you that this $2.5 million in revenue that comes in, that's how we set what we would spend. We didn't say, what's it going to cost? We said, what money do we have? And we have this much money, and we can only do this much. I'm not going to be building Bethel Woods in year one. Maybe down the road when people see how great this is, there'll be pressure for the legislature to do a second phase. But we're going to have a first-class amphitheater that's not going to compete with any other facility in Onondaga County or this surrounding counties, this 17,000-seat amphitheater. I'm hoping that the State Fair will use it as its grandstand, and that $2.5 million that comes in will be spent servicing the bond that'll generate the sales tax. So, you know, it's not perfect.
Yes. Hi, Joni. Well, first of all, I want to commend you for the amphitheater. When you talk to young people, the same thing with Chancellor Candler did, make Syracuse cool. You're making it cool. It's for the younger generation, the generations to come. So from that perspective, if you go to Baltimore Harbor and you look at their facility, it's awesome. I know Sam would love to go there to boat right into Solvay now.
Yep.
But I think that is think the right thought process to have building this community, growing it, and making it younger. First, that's just my segue to my other question. I want to also thank you publicly because when Jubilee Homes, you know, wanted to commit to a supermarket, you was on board from day one. And we appreciate you and Ryan McMahon, the support you have given us in your leadership. The question I want to ask today as a consideration of your leadership with a great relationship with the governor is that the regional councils are awesome too. Mm-hmm. But to really have a smaller version of a regional council for neighborhoods, for the small organizations, the faith-based communities, the nonprofits like us to do the kind of development we want to do on South Ave, the Geddes Corridor, and South Salina Corridor, we would love for you to develop a relationship that we can come bring these folks together to build a unique vessel of a regional council just for those quarters and bring people on a task force that are sensitive to those neighborhoods the same way you heard us about the redlining in the past and to take those issues up and address issues of color that people don't want to talk about in a public way. We commend you. You know we're going to support you 110. Thank you.
Thank you, Walt. I really appreciate it. And the South Side needs a grocery store for every reason. The South Side needs a grocery store. And I know Linda Irvin is here, and Linda has worked hard to try to help get a grocery store. And we are continuing to work together to help get a grocery store. I think that's a great idea. And my wheels are spinning whether we should be asking for the state when we put in our regional economic development application, whether we should ask for a chunk of money that we would then be able to put a smaller council together for the neighborhoods, or whether we should ask the state to make that one of its focuses. But I'm happy to work with you on that, Walt. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Yes. Could you stand? Just to be fair. So everyone can see you.
As the county executive during this past election, you endorsed our governor and an assemblyman, both Democrats. You've said that you're going to seek re-election next year. Will you seek the Republican nomination for that seat?
Is that allowed? Can you do that? Get both?
The judges all do it. Are they here? Where's my candidate? Your sentiment is exactly right. However, I also endorsed John Katko for Congress, and I did not endorse the assembly race. And I'll give you a little context around that just because you might find it interesting. I'll try to be brief. I don't know how much time I have, Sandra.
You have about 10 minutes.
Okay. There was an event in my county executive role where the chair of the Assembly Committee on Mental Health came to Onondaga County to meet with a group at a place called Advocates in Fayetteville, and it's a resource center for adults with intellectual disabilities. And Al Sterpy put that group together so that this woman who chairs the Mental Health Committee in the Assembly could hear what some of their concerns are, chief among them that people, adults with disabilities, a lot of them want to live at home. And that means aging parents taking care of them. And what resources can attach to the adult child with disabilities to make it so that that child can stay in their home after their parents are gone. And we heard from three families, very touching. One of the families, I have a sister with intellectual disabilities who lives at home with my mother and father. So it's an issue that touches close. But one of the men who had talked is somebody I've known his brother for 50 years. He said, my mother's 93. She's still parenting on a daily basis at 93. She's worried about her son. And then Al got up. And I did not know about Al Sterpy that he has a 29-year-old, profoundly disabled daughter. So it was that setting where I spoke and said, you know, if this is what you're trying to accomplish, having somebody who's living it changes things, you know? And then Al used that, which was a very genuine statement of admiration that I have for Al Sterpy, to say, Jody Mahoney doesn't think I'm horrible, you know? And I don't know why it matters to anybody whether Jody Mahoney thinks he's horrible, but if he thinks that, that's true. I don't think he's horrible. I don't think he's horrible. I like Al Sterpy. On a personal level, I like Al Sterpy. I like a lot of people that I don't support politically. And yes, I am going to ask the Republicans to support me. And the reason is I'm a lifelong Republican. And I would tell you, I mean, I'm sure you all can guess how I ended up there, right? But are any of you still writing? Because the story is kind of interesting. But anyhow, the Republican Party that I know, I think there's people, and here I go, Minch, I think there's people at both ends of the spectrum politically that have very good intentions. I do. I don't think they're wrong or they're wrong and I'm right. I think there's really good intentions way over on the left, and there's really good intentions on the right. But the philosophies aren't the same. You don't think there's anybody on the right? The Republican Party that I'm talking about, the Republican Party that I know, that I joined 30 years ago, okay. The Republican Party that I joined, the philosophy was that government couldn't be all things to all people and had a responsibility to level the playing field, make things happen so that capitalism, which is the best system that we know, whether it's perfect, no, but whether that can thrive. And then over here, we had really good and well-intentioned people who thought that the safety net should be bigger. And that meant more resources that we had to take from the business sector. Are we in balance? Absolutely not. But generally speaking, I have thought that my role is to make your government less expensive and make it possible for the private sector to thrive. And, you know, the individuals that are making a lot of noise on both sides, I find very little common ground with them. I am in the middle, and I think I'm with probably 80%. You know, I think there's 10% way over there, there's 10% way over there, and then there's the rest of us that call them as we see them, and that's where I am. So...
I don't know if you can
stand up. Thank you.
Hi, Joni.
Hi, Diane.
One of the things that I want to talk about is the infant mortality. And in 1989, I was one of the leads with the State Health Department to implement one of the first programs to look at the infant mortality in Onondaga County and in Syracuse. And we worked with the County Health Department and with the Women's Commission. So my question, and this is something is being in public health most of my life, I'm very near and dear to me. So are you planning to look, this has been a controversial issue, I'm aware of that, looking at maybe having a task force or an ad hoc committee? Because if you would be doing that, I would more than love to serve on that committee, but it might be very good to involve a variety of agencies to see how best to deal with infant mortality, because I've seen it go up and down and up and down, and we really forget maybe one of the basic concepts of primary prevention, which is to maintain a program, to keep it at a level. And unfortunately, we withdraw resources. So I would hope you might have an ad hoc or some type of a task force to look at that, and I'd be willing to serve.
And that is, I appreciate that, Diane, and that's the level of expertise that could really change things for us. I don't know how, I want to balance being very proud of the work Onondaga County has done, and our numbers have moved in the right direction, but we can't get complacent. It's not okay if you really drill down into those numbers. And I will mention that to I will mention that to Dr. Gupta, and I will work with her if that's something that she wants me to do. I try to, especially when they're brand new, not let them know exactly how I am. I pretend that I'm hands off, and you know.
All right, thank you. You have a question?
Hi, Joni. Thank you for your leadership on many issues. You've brought up some, but also green infrastructure. I was at a great talk about that earlier this week. It's fantastic,
thank
and you,
you
really stand out as a national leader in that regard. But in that regard, and also you've mentioned mass transit, the high refugee population in Syracuse, the pending 81 saga that we're all living as it goes forth, and then the process that was used for the amphitheater. I think I'm not the only one in this room that's concerned about the management and the maintenance and how some of these things are implemented and maintained over time. As looking from the outside and looking at Onondaga County, to me it stands out that there isn't, you've done a great job at hiring people at entry level, as you mentioned, people with minor criminal records, people with MPAs out of the Maxwell School,
right,
which stands out nationally also. But when it comes to hiring people with experience from other local governments from around the country that can bring expertise, I hear concerns from people, including some in this room, that it's hard to interact with local governments here, not just the county, because there aren't professionals that are competent enough and have the experience enough to be able to deal with them. 81 is one in point, that the city doesn't have, for example, professional engineering staff in-house, people that can learn in the process. Same thing with green infrastructure, people that are in-house that can learn how to maintain these experiments in process, which a lot of the green infrastructure projects are. So how are you and your colleagues in local government addressing that? We stand out, unfortunately, for example, in lack of professional planners in the towns.
Yeah.
How are you working to cultivate that with both within the county and in the local governments that are within the county so that we have more professionalism, more competency to deal with the challenges ahead?
Well, I'll tell you, we happen to have here, coincidentally, right, Matt Marcos here from CH2M Hill, and he is the project manager for all of our green infrastructure. And Matt is not a county employee, so your point is well taken. How does the community interact with Matt Marco? We have to make sure that outreach and education is a big component of what we do, and we do that. And we do have WEP, Water Environment Protection. If I'm elected, I might change the name of that department. WEP. WEP. We do have people that are trained in-house to understand the maintenance, and they go around and make sure, especially with the public-private partnerships, that things have been implemented properly and that they're working the way they're supposed to be working and that they're being maintained. But your point is well taken, and again, it's a balance. Do we hire all these folks as county employees and have your taxes go up, or do we contract out for that expertise? And there's got to be a balance. There has to be access to your local government for regular folks to understand these issues and at the same time keep an eye on the bottom line. With respect to planning, our planning department is fantastic, and we are making our planning department. We actually hired, in partnership with the city, Andy Maxwell, to be the city-county planning department. And he's gone out into the towns, and we are very happy to help bring the expertise from inside county government into the towns in terms of planning. I would like to do that more than they would like me to do that. So I'm not sure that I'm the right person to ask that of, but the towns are a little bit afraid of the big bad county, and Kathy Richardson's not nodding her head because having gone around on consensus to understand how we're all going to work together, right? I'm not the entire problem, am I, Kathy?
Not at all.
Okay.
We'll find out more about that. Okay. I just wanted to say I agree with Lisa about the importance of professionalism, and you've addressed that. But I also wanted to say that in the 10 years that University College has been funding the Citizens Academy, where we take about 35 county residents through this primer on local government every fall, and we have a combination of city, county, and sometimes town, village representatives. Sometimes you've been there, but often you're commissioners, department heads. I think one of the things that participants would agree is that they are surprised and pleased with the degree of professionalism, but also the dedication of many, not maybe not all, but many of the government professionals whom they meet.
That is absolutely right, and I'm glad that you made that point. The caliber of the department heads that we have in county government, especially, I mean, regardless, but especially when you consider their value in the private sector. And they do it quietly and without a lot of fanfare. You know, the storm out in Buffalo, I was getting calls from the media about the storm in Buffalo, and I got on the phone with Kevin Wisely, who runs emergency management. Of course, he and Brian Donnelly from the Department of Transportation have already mustered the help that Onondaga County can be and get, you know, crews out there to Buffalo to dig people out, and, you know, not with any fanfare. And when I called to ask the question, I wasn't surprised that we're on it and we're doing a good job. And that's true all across county government. We just have outstanding, Sarah, mm-hmm. chief among them, we have mm-hmm. outstanding department heads in county government.
Right. And I think it's important to acknowledge that also so that we keep the pipeline open, because we hear that a lot of younger people maybe are not interested in public service because, again, just like our community in general, some people say if it's denigrated, then they'll say, well, why do I want to do that and not make a lot of money and take a lot of, right. you know, guff and criticism. So I do appreciate keeping that level of professionalism.
Yeah. And I think that we would be honest to say that a Republican administration with some of the noise might not be as appealing, and we might have our work cut out for us to recruit because, you know, it's just numbers. But if you look at the demographics, we're not the party that the young people are joining right this minute, right? Is that a safe statement?
Well, we'll see. Thank you very much, County Executive Mahoney.